but it's fallen right into line with this week too, and I thank God that he's given me another chance to. He showed me about a week ago. He said, we all have a story, each and every one of us. We've all done things, we've all said things, and we've all failed several times. And I started seeing little flashbacks of where I once was and what my life was like before. And it wasn't a guilt, and it wasn't a, oh God, you know, please forgive me because I know I have been forgiven. But sometimes we need to be showed things periodically just to be thankful of where he's brought us from and where we could have been. And as he has shown me, pretty much that whole week, and at the end of the week, I laid my head on my pillow and he says, but look what I have done. Repeatedly, he kept saying, but look what I have done. He wanted me to get that so real on the inside of me of what he has done in my life. And I, like I said, each and every one of us have a story. But look what the Lord has done.
Control.
is faithful, and that word, his word is true. So understand today that he's not forsaken you. No matter what that situation is that you're thinking of, he's faithful.
Burn like fire. more that I asked to give what they're thankful for. And I didn't forget her. I think I just, there was another time for it. Amen.
First of all, I want to thank the baby that was born in a manger. And the man that gave his life for me. And I'm glad to say that he is my true coming king. And I'm thankful for my kids.
Even Steve.
But most of all, I'm thankful for the joy that baby Judah brought back into my life. You know, there comes a time in your life where you wonder, am I worthy? Do I need to be here? Am I a burden? But you know, through it all, I've learned to endure. And I thank God for everything that he has done in my life. If I had to repay the Lord for everything that he has done, I would probably fail. Because I could never repay him for the stuff that he has done for me. I love this church. My husband and I would have been married over 50 years. And we went to a lot of churches. He ministered to a lot of people. But I have never felt the love in a church that I have felt through this church. I want to thank God for my brothers and sisters. Because you helped give me my life that I've got today. You helped encourage me. When I walked into the church up on the other street, I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk. I'm to a walker. I can take a few steps with a cane, yes. Am I thankful? Yes. But I know God's got big plans for me. He's not done with me yet. But I know one of these days, I'm going to meet a man that's going to be worth it all.
Amen. Woo. Mm-hmm. Another sermon. Bless the Lord. I hope that in what people are saying and people are doing and what we're thankful for, beyond Christ and being the most important thing that we're thankful for, is that we're thankful for people who love us beyond ourselves. Y'all look beyond each other's. We know that sometimes we get on your nerves, each of us, right? We're not perfect people. But you love us beyond ourselves. And to have so many people say that you guys show them so much love and they feel so much love in here, thank God for all of you. Amen? I love all of you. You guys are amazing. Whew. I think we don't even have to take up an offering message. Let's just put the buckets out and then we'll take up the tithes and offering. My heart is just very full right now. I can't explain. I'm not very good. My husband could probably ramble on for an hour for how I'm feeling right now, or a day. But I'm just very full of the thankfulness and the love of God and the goodness that he's done. Look where we're at, you know? Look where we're at. What? That song that says, I can't even, the champion song about not taking someone like me and using it for your glory. Taking someone like me and using it for your glory. As I was coming here and knowing I'm giving the message today, I was almost just dumbfounded at the fact of how did this happen, God? How did this happen? That you would take a girl. Children, you're dismissed. We love you. Aren't they awesome? Did that just not like touch your heart big? I can put this down, I guess. Yes, I'm waiting until they leave. that he would take somebody that had been touched wrongfully when she was a little girl, that began to think from a little age that I was nothing and nobody, that innocence, I didn't even know what that meant anymore, that he would take the person that had done the ultimate stupid thing when she was pregnant, and the ultimate sin, you feel like. I mean, I know every sin is the same, but I wasn't saved. And I believed the lie of the enemy that I was too horrible of a person to have another baby. So he would take somebody who did something horrific like that. Not only would he save me, but he would heal me. He would break those chains of bondages that were on me. Listen, I've had a gun to my head. I've shot it. It didn't go off. There was no bullet in that chamber. I pointed it towards the door, thinking there was no bullets in this chamber at all, and it went off. I was one away from being dead right now. And you can't tell me that God's not good and that he wasn't in the whole thing, even when I didn't serve him. Somebody was praying for me, right? Somebody had my name on their lips before the Lord, and I was saved when I didn't deserve it. Listen, I did not deserve it. That's how good our God is. And that he would allow us to come, and he would set us free so much that he would allow us to start speaking to other people and sharing his word and entrust us. It's beyond my understanding, I'm telling you. We've been doing it for almost 11 years here in Kenton, and we've been ministering for, I don't even, 22 years? I don't know. I know, I'm only 22 years old, so how can that be? I know, I get it. What, some of you are laughing like it's not truth? No. When I get too emotional, I have to make a joke so that I can calm down for a second. But who would have guessed? Who would have guessed? I go home and people look at me and say, "You're a what? You're what?" Yep. That's how good God is. I'm a pastor. I don't understand it. It's beyond my understanding. But understand, if I wasn't and I was still sitting and not being a pastor, and that wasn't what he had called me to do, I would still be in awe of what he's done in my life. Amen? So there's some songs that really hit deep with me when it says that you would take a nobody and make them a somebody. He does truly take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I'm not the wise, but I'm confounded. Well, maybe I am wise then. Right? Thank you. You didn't laugh. That means that you guys agree. No, I just love y'all. Thank you. I'm so thankful this morning. We're going to pray over your tithes and offering. I guess I've said all that to say, let me finish that up, because the Lord just told me I wasn't done saying that it doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter that you were faithful in everything you tried to do or that you stumbled. We are not perfect, and God understands that we're not perfect. Before this world ever began, he made a way of escape for us, because he created us and he thought, what if they allow sin in? I need to get them out of it. So he understood that that could happen to us. But he says that we're to forgive each other 70 times 7 in one day. Now, your pastor has pushed the limits on that almost every day we've been married. Nate, you know that. If he expects us to do that with each other, don't you think he does that with us? Don't you think that he loves us so much that all we have to do is say, you know, listen, don't stay in sin. That's what I'm saying. You don't have a right to sin. Grace is not a card to say, here's my grace card, I get to go sin. That's not what that is. It is the empowerment to you not to sin. He graces you so that you can stand up and be who he's called you to be and be strong and not sin. But if we happen to fall, and we've all done it, and we've all had to come back to the altar of repentance and ask him to forgive us and repent and turn from that thing and come back to him. And that's as easy as it is. The hardest thing for you right now is to say, I forgive myself and I'm going to move on because God does not remember it anymore. So whatever it is, whoever I'm speaking to, it's time to stop beating yourself up. Get on your knees, be thankful before the Lord, and then get up, wipe the dust off, and keep walking with Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, Father, we just come before you and we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you that you give us every opportunity in our life. You don't just cover one area in our life, but you cover every single area in our life, Father. And I thank you for all of those that are here today. And Father, I just ask you to bless them, that today would just be a day where peace and joy reigns in them, and that the enemy is stopped right now from bringing distraction and discouragement to them, Lord. And Father, I ask that you bless them as they come give their tithe and offerings. Father, that you see the needs, you see their heart, you see what they're sowing for, and I agree with them that you are going to give back unto them abundantly above all they ask or think. Because you're God, and you think higher than we think. You are bigger than we are bigger. Lord, you are bigger than we are. And I thank you. There's nothing impossible with you. And the needs that are here, you've already met them. And we thank you for coming them to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. You can bring your tithes and offerings forward. Today. I'm serious. The thankfulness and what we're to be thankful for. Thankful, being praised, being full of praise, and being content. And I think Glenna summed up all of those in just hers. I really do. Thankful means pleased, relieved, express gratitude and relief, to give thanks, to be made a matter of thankfulness, grateful, pleasing, mindful of benefits, and thankful. Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I've got to go through my papers again because I did learn. I promise I learned from last Thursday to print it, right? And I sent it to myself to print it, but for some reason, it's not working in this building. So I've got to use my old sheets and my new sheets that I couldn't print off because I can't get to it all. But Colossians 3:15 says, and let praise of God roll in your hearts, to that which, to that also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. I think the one thing that we all agree on is that we are thankful for Jesus. Amen. We are thankful that he came and he saved us and he set us free. Now, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different walk. Everybody has different history. And the things that you're most thankful for, I may have never even experienced. And the thing that I'm most thankful for, you may never experience. That's why we make up the body of Christ. Because what happened when people gave their testimonies? What happened to you when people started to say, this is what I'm thankful for? This is what I'm thankful for. Doesn't it bring hope when another shares a testimony? I'm thankful that we are able to give hope when a testimony is shared, because there are people that don't understand how good God is. There are people that sit in the church that don't understand how good God is. We were praying over somebody in North Carolina once, and they told me that he had a sickness on his body, and they told me that he thinks that the sickness got on his body because he was suffering for Jesus. No. How many of you know that's not truth? That is not truth. The Lord brings you nothing but good things. So he's not suffering for Jesus, but the enemy has put something on him. And whether it be because of heretics in his bloodline or something he's done in his way, his behavior, his way of life, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how the sickness came upon him. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. But it is not of the Lord to bring anything bad upon you. And so when you know those things and you can start speaking to somebody that says, no, Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to heal you. Do you believe you're saved? If you believe you're saved in here, raise your hand. Yeah. We have no doubt, right? Absolutely no doubt in our mind that Jesus went to the cross for our salvation. Then why do we doubt that he went to the cross for our healing too? Because the same action did both. Amen? And why do we doubt for our life and situations that we're in? Because did Jesus not say before he went that it is finished? It is finished. What's that mean? It's finished. This work that he came here to do is finished. To set you free, to deliver you, to heal you, to save you. Everything was finished at the cross. By his stripes, I'm healed. Does healing just stop at a broken arm or a broken finger or stomach issues? Where does healing stop? My sight, my ears? No, healing doesn't stop with anything. Healing can be your relationship with your spouse. Healing can be relationship with your kids. I can't yell at mine. He ain't in here right now, but healing can be any area of your life. What is broken? What is broken? Jesus said, greater works than I did, you'll do, because I went to the cross. And so when he goes to the cross for our sins, and he goes for our healing, and then he says, greater works can you do? And you think about all of the healings, all of the people. There was an area where Jesus healed them all. Doesn't say how many were there, but he says he healed them all. And we know that thousands would come up and show up for Jesus because he would always have crowds and crowds of people that would come. He healed them all. They had lack in food. He'd give them food out of 2 loaves and 5 fishes. Yeah, sorry. Got that by my dyslexic brain. So Jesus takes care of everything. So we can believe that salvation is ours, and we can understand that. But when it comes over here to the side of healing in our lives, why is it that we don't believe him? Why is it that the first sign of pain or the first sign of a struggle or a trial coming on, or the first time our heart sinks because something happened, we forget about the goodness of God and that he's healed us too? We'll sit in salvation and be confident of that. But it's time to be thankful for the other side of it too. It's time to be thankful for the healing part of it and to claim that and to bring that and to confess that. Amen? Psalms 91:1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Because there's nobody like you, God. There's nobody like you, God. You will not, if you've not just sat and said, thank you, God, and sat there and just in that moment started just praising him and being thankful for everything he did, as much as you can remember, because I promise you, you're going to miss some stuff because he's so good. There's going to be some things in your life that has happened that you don't even realize that it was him, but guess what? It was him. You sit there and you start being thankful, and all of a sudden something starts coming into the room. I was driving here and something just started coming into the car. His presence just started coming into the car. Because he can't stay away from a thankful people. Amen? He loves you so much that as soon as you start talking to him, he's there. You want to get in a deeper relationship with Jesus? Spend some time with him. Read his word. I once had a girl tell me once, long, long time ago, I worked at a bank, and I worked with her, and she went to a different church than I went to, and somehow we started talking about the Bible and what it says, and I said, well, the Bible says this, and she says, oh, and I said, well, have you read this? And she said, no, I don't read my Bible, and I said, you go to church, right? She said, well, yeah, I go to church, but my pastor gives the sermon. The minister gives the sermon. He tells me what the Bible says. I couldn't believe it. I never heard of such a thing. I'm being honest with you. I didn't know people didn't read their Bible. I didn't know people just relied solely on what they were being taught. How do you know that what I'm teaching you is right if you don't read it for yourself and make sure? Whoa. Did you see that? I know. The Lord is good. At least you dash your foot on stone. He'll bear you up. He just helped me. Whew. I have fallen off here before. And he caught me, like he does. But how do you know what's being said is truth? First thing I did when I got saved and started hearing all of this stuff, because I didn't trust nobody. Listen, I didn't trust anybody. Trust was broken in my life. I didn't care who you were. I didn't trust you. And it wasn't you. It was me, obviously. Obviously. But so whatever somebody told me, even a pastor, I didn't trust until I got into the Word myself and saw that this is what it was. And then I was so thankful for a pastor that truly was telling me the truth, because I would get in his Word and I would ask the Holy Ghost, because I didn't like school. I was not a scholar. If you want me to write you a letter, it's going to be straight to the point, and the punctuation is not going to be proper. Just going to tell you. The grammar may not be proper either. But give me some numbers and I'll help you all day long and I'm good. But so reading was not one of my, I like to read sometimes, but so when I got in the Word and read, I would have to pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I'm reading today. Help me to understand what you want me to hear out of this that I'm reading today, because I didn't understand it. And it was the King James, yes, and I could have picked an easier translation, I guess, but I had confidence that he could help me understand what this one said. And so I'm a King James person all the way. Probably till I die, I'll be a King James person, because he started telling me and showing me out of this one what he was saying to me. And he was speaking it. Now, I like to look at other things, but translations. But you have to figure it out yourself. Amen? Your pastor is to feed you the Word and tell you the truth. Absolutely. But you have to go and spend time with Jesus and in the Word to have an intimate relationship with him. How are you thankful for a relationship that barely exists? If I would go around to some of you and ask you if you know me, you'd say yes because you see me right now, right? But if I would start asking you some of my likes and dislikes, could you tell me that? Now, some of you could, but some of you could not. Why? Because we know each other, but we don't have intimate fellowship with one another, right? We haven't sat down and we haven't talked and we haven't spent time together, you know, just outside of here fellowshipping with one another. So you don't know me well, but you know who I am, right? Now, Holly, could you tell me some things about myself? Why? Because we've spent some time. Jeannie, same. There are some people in here that could tell me about myself. Okay, nice things about myself. Open up the door and a flood will come through. No. And because we have a more intimate relationship. Isn't that the same way with Jesus? I know Jamie. But I don't know Jamie like Marie knows Jamie. Right? Be thankful. Trust me, sister. Yes. You get it. Same with Dale and Amy. I know Dale. A wonderful man. Jamie, a wonderful man. But they can tell you more intimate details about their husbands. Amen? Why? Because they have an intimate relationship where they spend time together. And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about, you know, just knowing each other, being with each other all these years. So how do you get to an intimate relationship? Because if you're saying, I don't even know what I'm thankful for, it's because you don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus to understand how good he is. Amen? How good he is. And how much He wants to help in every situation that you have and how much he's already done and finished work in those situations. Look at Job. Job knew. Job suffered and suffered, and he lost all of his kids. He lost all of his cattle. He lost everything. He lost his wife, and the Lord gave everything back to him. Double. I don't think wives. I think that's where I'd have called it. Lord, I don't need double of those. But because he was faithful, because he had an intimate relationship with the Lord, that no matter what came upon Job, he knew that God was good. And that his relationship with God, he knew that God wasn't putting this on him. And he would never curse God, not once. Not once, not when his friends were begging him to. Not once. And he was suffering. He was, his body was covered with stuff. He, like, not just that he lost this stuff, but he himself, his body was suffering. And he wouldn't curse, not once. See, we can go through battles, and we will. Every single person will go through a battle more than once. It's promised to us in the Word. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous battle. But I will deliver you out of all. How can he be that confident and say that? Because the finished work was at Calvary. He's already done it. He's already done his job. Getting through that battle is your job. How? How do I get through it? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Be thankful in all things. Be grateful. Praise him in all things.